Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 1 through 27. This is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, and you, O son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will punish you for all your abominations. And my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will punish you for your ways while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, disaster after disaster, behold, it comes. An end has come. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it comes. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near. A day of tumult and not of joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will soon pour out my wrath upon you and spend my anger against you and judge you according to your ways. And I will punish you for all your abominations, and my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will punish you according to your ways, while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold the day, behold it comes, your doom has come. The rod has blossomed, pride has budded, violence has grown up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor their abundance, nor their wealth, neither shall there be preeminence among them. The time has come, the day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all their multitude. For the seller shall not return to what he has sold while they live. For the vision concerns all their multitude. It shall not turn back, and because of his iniquity, none can maintain his life. They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but none goes to battle. For my wrath is upon all their multitude. The sword is without, pestilence and famine are within. He who is in the field dies by the sword, and him who is in the city, famine and pestilence devour. And if any survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them moaning, each one over his iniquity. All hands are feeble, and all knees turn to water. They put on sackcloth and horror covers them. Shame is on all faces and baldness on their heads. They cast their silver into the streets and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it was the stumbling block of their iniquity. As beautiful ornament they used for pride, and they made their abominable images and their detestable things of it. Therefore I make it an unclean thing to them, and I will give it into the hands of foreigners for prey, and to the wicked of the earth for spoil, and they shall profane it. I will turn my face from them, and they shall profane my treasured place. Robbers shall enter and profane it. Forge a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. I will bring the worst of the nations to take possession of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the strong, and their holy places shall be profaned. When anguish comes, they will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster comes upon disaster. Rumor follows rumor. They seek a vision from the prophet, while the law perishes from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king mourns. The prince is wrapped in despair, and the hands of the people of the land are paralyzed by terror. According to their way I will do to them, and according to their judgments I will judge them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Nothing makes known to us more our need for a Savior than the judgment of God. The judgment of God on the day of the Lord, which is the day of His anger, the day of His fury, the day of His wrath. It is the day on which this world will come to an end. It is the final chapter in the history of this world. Nothing makes known to us more our need for salvation than the judgment of that day, the day of the Lord, the day of His anger, the day of His fury, the day of His wrath. And why is it a day of anger, a day of fury, a day of wrath? Because it is the day on which God will fully judge the sin of man, the wickedness of his heart, and the abominations of his hands. In Ezekiel chapter 7, the end is revealed. In Ezekiel chapter 7, the end of the world is revealed, and the end of Israel. The day of God's judgment is revealed in His judgment upon Israel. What happens to Israel in Ezekiel chapter 7 will one day happen to all the world. And so the one who reads Ezekiel chapter 7 is to attend carefully to these things. He is to pay attention. He is to take heed, as one who is being warned, who is being warned of the things to come, things that must soon take place as the end draws near, as the end is upon you. In Ezekiel chapter 7, the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord comes to the Son of Man. And he is to speak to the land of Israel that its end has come, that the end has come upon the four corners of the land. And that word translated as land, it may also be translated as the earth. And so here we see that suggestion that what was true then of the land of Israel will one day be true of all the earth. What was coming upon the four corners of the land of Israel will one day come upon the four corners of all the earth. And it is more than a suggestion. It is a certainty. The end that came upon the four corners of the land, it is the end that will come upon the four corners of the earth. It was a day when God judged His people according to their ways. and punished them for all their abominations. And it will be a day when God judges all peoples according to their ways and punishes them for all their abominations. It is described as a day of disaster, as a day of tumult, a day not of joyful shouting, but of weeping and gnashing of teeth. For it is a day when God will pour out His wrath and spend His anger upon those who have rebelled against Him. And all sin is rebellion against God. And so every sin deserves His anger and wrath. And perhaps the most terrifying words of our passage are found in verses 4 and 9. "My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity." The judgment of that day will not be changed. On that day, those whom God condemns, He will not spare. He will punish them in His anger and wrath. It will be a day without pity, as man becomes a creature beyond pity. There is no pity in hell. There is no mercy in hell. There is no compassion in hell. There is no comfort in hell. Hell is without pity. Hell is without mercy. Hell is without compassion. Hell is without comfort. Man will not find pity there. He will not find mercy there. He will not find compassion there. He will not find comfort there. He will look for pity and find none. He will look for mercy and find wrath, and that forever and ever and ever. On that day, all will know that God is the Lord. And on that day, not all will love Him, but no one will deny Him. Not all will enjoy Him, but all will glorify Him and confess
that His judgments are just and true.
Whether or not you think this judgment is just now, you will know it to be just then. Whether or not you think His judgment is just now, you will know it to be just then. Nothing makes known to us more the greatness of our sin than the wrath of God. And nothing makes known to us more our need for a Savior. Verses 1 through 9 of Ezekiel chapter 7, we read of the terror of the day that is coming. And in verses 10 through 13, we see that it is a day without joy, a day without rejoicing. It is a day of loss. But how great is this loss? For Israel, that day was not merely the loss of possessions, the loss of abundance, the loss of wealth. It certainly was that. But in verses 12 and 13, we are reminded of what was truly being lost. A loss greater than the loss of material possessions, of material abundance, of material wealth. In verse 12, we read that it was a day when the buyer was not to rejoice, nor the seller to mourn. But why? Why was the buyer not to rejoice? Why was the seller not to mourn? We find the answer in verse 13. For the seller shall not return to what he has sold while they live. If we are to understand what that means, if we are to understand the meaning of verses 12 and 13, we need to remember what we read in Leviticus chapter 25 concerning the year of Jubilee. It was a year in the land of Israel. It was a year in the land of promise when everyone returned to his property. It was a year when everyone returned to his inheritance in the land that the Lord had given his people, the land in which he dwelt. If someone became poor and was compelled to sell his property in order to survive, he did not lose it forever, but it was returned to him in the year of Jubilee. Or rather, he returned to it in the year of Jubilee. When someone had to sell his inheritance in the land, it would have been a reason to mourn his loss. But here in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 13, he is told not to mourn. And the buyer is told not to rejoice. And why? Because it will all be lost to both buyer and seller. There will be no year of Jubilee. There will be no return. In verses 10 through 13, we see the greatness of what is being lost. Life in the land of promise. Life in the presence of God. It is the loss of the greatest possession, God Himself. It is a day on which the Lord turns away from those whom He condemns. The day of the Lord will not be a day of joy to the world. It will not be a day of rejoicing. It will be a day of great loss. Not only the loss of possessions and abundance and wealth, but the loss of something far greater, without which there can be no joy, apart from whom there can be no rejoicing, the loss of life in the presence of God. The exile of Israel from the land of promise . It reveals a greater exile to come. When man is exiled from life in the presence of God forever. For what is hell but death in the presence of God forever? For hell is not without the presence of God. It is the presence of His wrath, the presence of His displeasure. There is no jubilee in hell. There is no returning to what has been lost. The loss that is suffered there is a loss without end. Verse 13 summarizes the plight of man. Because of his iniquity, none can maintain his life. Because of his sin, none can preserve his life. No one can save himself from this end. You cannot save yourself from this end. No amount of silver, no amount of gold can save you. Israel took its silver and its gold and crafted idols from it. But their idols could not save them. Their idols could not deliver them. Their idols could not satisfy them. All Israel could do was stumble over them. Their idols could not save. and your idols will not save. Israel's idols could not save them, and your idols will not save you. The works of their hands could not save them, and the works of your hands will not save you. Only God can save. But will He? At the end of Ezekiel chapter 7, in verse 24, God announces that He will put an end to all pride. After the pride of man comes anguish. After pride comes disaster. And when it comes, those who lifted their hearts in pride against the Lord will seek peace from Him, but find none. And in verses 26 and 27, we read that salvation will not come from their prophets. Salvation will not come from their priests. Salvation will not come from their elders. Salvation will not come from their kings. For the prophet will be without vision. The priest will be without instruction. The elders will be without counsel. And the king himself will mourn, and his offspring will despair. In the end, the land will be filled with terror. In the end, the earth will be filled with terror. With none to save. Nothing makes known to us more our need of a Savior than the judgment of God. A judgment that we do deserve. And a Savior that we do not. But thanks be to God. In the riches of His mercy and grace, He has given to us a Savior in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the riches of His mercy and grace. He has worked salvation for us in Christ. Christ came to endure the judgment of God for us. For us, the end has come in Christ. For us, the wrath of God was poured out upon Him. For us, the anger of the Lord was spent against Him. His eye did not spare him. He did not have pity upon him. The Lord punished him according to your ways. The Lord punished him for all your abominations. For us, the joy of God's presence was taken from him. From the cross, no shout of joy was heard, but a cry of anguish and loss. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? For us, God did not spare him. And for us, God heard his cry. For us, he raised him to life. And so while there was no pity for Christ, there is now pity in Christ. There is pity in Christ. There is mercy in Christ. There is compassion in Christ. There is comfort in Christ. In him you will find mercy. In him you will find comfort. In him you will find the Savior that you need. In him you will find the only Savior that there is. He is our great prophet. His word is sure. He is our great priest. His teaching is true. He is our great elder. His counsel is wisdom. He is our great king. His rule is perfection. The end will come. But through faith in Christ, for you that end has already come. The terror of that day has passed. the condemnation of that day is no more. And so the day that is still yet to come, for you it will not be a day of loss, but a day of gain. Gain without end. Jubilee without end. Joy without end. And rejoicing without end. The day when those who belong to Christ are made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God forever. Encourage one another with these words, and all the more as the day draws near. Amen. Let us pray.